I encourage you to turn in your Bibles, if you have them this morning. If you do not, there is one in the pew, hopefully, in front of you. We are again, of course, going to be visiting the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. At least that will be our go-to text today. Let's call it that. The sermon series is entitled Called Out and Gathered Together, and this is, believe it or not, part 8 of this series. We've been discussing the three functions or role of the church. We spoke on worship or exaltation. We spoke on evangelism and what that entails for us as believers. And this morning, we're going to cover the topic, if you will, of edification. And given this, usually we have more of an expositional type sermon. So there's a little blend today. We'll do some exposition on the actual verses, but it does have a topical value to it. And I will be, of course, sharing with you other verses throughout the scripture that pertain to edifying of the body of Christ. But I leave it to you, as always, to do your homework, to research it for yourself. That is the challenge. But Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 through 16, and we'll read our text here in a moment. Effective worship and evangelism are preceded by useful edification. Malnourished believers produce malnourished results. One of the greatest purposes of the church is to evangelize the world, but before this can take place, Christians have to build up and be well equipped to do their God-appointed work. Good soldiers are well equipped, trained, and informed before heading into the fray, out onto the battlefield. Now, all is dependent, of course, on the grace of God. And as the Apostle Paul illustrates to young Timothy, I call him young Timothy, I don't know why, I guess he was 40, maybe. The Apostle Paul illustrates to Timothy, who was pastoring, he said, "You therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. You, therefore, must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." And then Paul goes further. He says, "No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." 2 Timothy 2. Verses 1 through 4. Now indeed, each of us, if we are truly Christ followers, have enlisted in God's army, whether you like it or not, you're his man or woman, and are immediately thrust into the spiritual warfare of our time. And indeed, it is spiritual warfare. Now the book of Ephesians reminds us of the new man or woman in Christ and how we are to come together in the peace of Christ, also in unity, love, light, wisdom, and putting to work those spiritual gifts granted us by God's marvelous grace. In other words, God provides the means by which we excel as his effective ambassadors or soldiers. Often, sometimes anyway, like Joshua and Israel's first failed attempt to take the city of Ai in Joshua chapter 7, we race ahead of Christ, not taking the time to examine ourselves, to repent of our sins, or to pray, or to prepare properly. They had to go at it again, you see, to win that battle. When the Israelites first crossed the Jordan, and after taking Jericho, they went to the second city there in Canaan. Now the assembly, that is you and I, the church, is more than worship. It is more than sending out evangelists. The third major function of the church as the body of Christ is to edify Christians. To edify Christians. Now three areas help us to accomplish this role. Spiritual gifts given by God through Christ. Spiritual gifts, fellowship, and biblical instruction. Now, of course, we'll share on these briefly in an overview later on in today's message. Let me share with you this verse before we kick off our key text. Romans 14, verse 19, quote unquote, says, "Therefore, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the things by which one may edify another." The things by which one may edify another. Now, the Apostle Paul frequently spoke of the edification of the body of Christ, for example. And as I said, this will be our key text today. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to pick up with verse 11. We'll look back here in a minute at some of the preceding verses, but let's start with verse 11. And he himself, that is Christ, and he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, Ephesians 4, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Amen? Now, you might have noticed there, that is one long, ongoing sentence. There are no period breaks from verses 11 through 16. One big, long sentence in Paul's letter there. So, the what, if you will, of our discussion this morning, our examination of the scripture, you see, all things, all activities, whether praise and song, reading and hearing of God's word, fellowship with one another, even our speech is to be done for the edification of the body of Christ. For example, in verse 29 in chapter 4, if you want to glance down there, the Bible says, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. See, even how we talk to one another matters in the body of Christ. Now, referring to church order in the Corinthian assembly, and of course, as we all know, Corinthian had several issues. They had a lot of carnal issues taking place and some disorder. But referring to the order there in that church, Paul in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26, he writes, how is it then, brethren, whether you come together, each of you has a psalm, has a teaching, has a tongue, has a revelation, has an interpretation, period. And then he says this, key part of this verse, at least for this morning, let all things, he said, be done for edification. Let all things be done for edification. That's why you can't really have chaos, you see, in the church, because it does not edify the body. Now, the word edifying in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, it comes from the Greek term oikodome is the right way to say it. Oikodome is the Greek word, and it means, you see, to build up. To build up. Paul here uses the present participle, which is the noun form of the verb edify, when he speaks of edifying. It's kind of used in a noun sense, if you will. And it refers to here, it refers to the act of one who promotes another's growth in Christian wisdom, piety, holiness, and happiness. That's the idea when Paul says all these things are given to us by Christ in the body for the edifying of one another. That's our pursuit. That's our goal. And in verse 11, the Apostle Paul there in Ephesians 4, he prefaces such contribution to the body of Christ with certain offices designed to do just that. That is, edify. And of course, we'll get to verse 11 here in a minute, but you can see it there. He said, and he himself, Christ, gave to be some apostles, prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And that's why he gave them. Now, it's imperative that we recognize the individual part of all believers. They are given by Christ in church ministry. It's important that we recognize these things, that we all have a part in church ministry. Although some are gifted for teaching or preaching God's word to others so that they are ready to minister to others as well, all the saints, including you, all the saints are gifted to serve one another spiritually. And if you look at verse 7 in chapter 4, if you back up a little bit, the Holy Spirit The inspiration of the scripture, Paul handwriting here says, but to each one of us, notice that, but to each one of us, grace was given, how and how much? According to the measure of Christ's gift. And therefore he says, and it goes on and on, but to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. So don't think this morning you don't have anything to offer. If you're a believer, if you're a child of God in Christ Jesus, you have something, you have a role to play, you have something to offer the body of Christ. Now, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11 also, Paul said this to Corinth, but one and the same Spirit works all these things. It all comes from God. It all is through the same Spirit. But he said also, distributing to each one individually as he wills. So as Jesus, as God wills, each of us has that gift. Now it's natural for human beings to attend church with self-seeking in mind. If we're honest with ourselves, we might examine our real motives for coming to church and whether those motives are in agreement with God's will and design. Edification is reciprocal. That is, there is a give and take to the function of edification. All edification, however, is done to the glory of God, isn't it? You know, when I state that and I wrote that, you think about it on a practical level, not just a doctrinal level, but a practical level. It is true, isn't it? We all attend church because, and that's okay. It is about you. Church is about you as an individual. I know we hear a lot about, well, it's not about you. It's about the body. And that is true as well. But it's still about you individually. And so you come to church because you come here hopefully to be edified, hopefully to grow in Christ, hopefully to enrich your faith by the hearing of the word, by meeting and greeting and fellowshipping one another and having care for one another. You see? And by exercising, which I'm probably ahead of my notes this morning, but by exercising your spiritual gift. And that's why it's so important. But edification can be confusing occasionally, because sometimes we make it unilateral. We make it one-sided. It's all me. It's all me. What do I get? What do I have out of it? How can I be filled? What serves me? What would I like it to be? You see. But the question we need to be asking is, what does God want it to be? And what does God want you to do to make it what he wants it? And that's the question. But in close relation, you see, to building up, and that's edifying, building up. In close relation to building up one another in Christ, Paul speaks of our growing up in Christ. That is to say, inward Christian growth. And that begs the question, how are we doing on the inside? Right? How are we doing on the inside? We can make a great appearance of piety. We can make a great appearance of church attendance and what have you, which is good. We all want to bring ourselves here bodily, of course. But how are we on the inside? Are we growing? Are we understanding? Are we gaining in wisdom? Are we knowing Christ more and more? Are we knowing our church family more and more? Now, in this, we are aided by the Holy Spirit of God. He, of course, indwells us. He comforts us. He comes alongside us and he helps conform us into the image of Christ, because that's the ultimate goal, isn't it? To perfect us and make us complete in him. But also to aid us is the assembled church. Edification is not going to take place on some island by yourself. Oh, you can get so much of it, but you need to come and fellowship with the body. Now, of the household of God, Christ being the chief cornerstone, the Apostle Paul writes this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 21 and 22. Paul said this, in whom, speaking of you and I, the believers, in whom the whole building, that is Christ, of course, being the cornerstone, chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building, that is in Christ, being fitted together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together. Two words, not just being built by yourself, being built together for a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. That is you in Christ and you in the body, right? Now, edification is not according to humanistic values or nor is it according to worldly standards, but it's according to God's standards and values. The true test of any church family is to ask this first question. And I'm going to put it in the singular, even though I'm talking about the family, because I want you to think on it yourself. But to ask this first question, am I growing in the Spirit of God and truth of Jesus Christ? The second question to ask as church family members is, am I helping others to grow in the Spirit of God and truth of Jesus Christ? Now, hopefully, the answer is in the affirmative. And, of course, that brings us to why. Talking about edification. And this is something you might do yourself and ponder using the scripture, of course. Why do I need edification? Why should I edify others? Well, first of all, it's what God expects of His people. It's what God expects of His people. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, and you're familiar with this verse in the book of, or in Peter's first epistle. He said, you also, speaking to believers. He was talking, of course, to the Jews who had been dispersed, but they were Jewish believers, which includes us. He said, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 5, you also, as living stones, are being built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You see, edification, being a Christian in the body of Christ, it's a life purpose. You have a purpose. You have an obedient purpose as a Christian. And that's the pursuit, not only of sanctification, but of edifying others and yourself. Also, a benefit of Christ's ascension is that He gave gifts to men for the church's edification. And these are not to be wasted. God, He's frugal, if I may put it that way, with His gifts. He sends you a gift of the Spirit to use for the edification of the body of Christ, and He expects you to use it. Expects you to hone it, harness it, and exercise it. And of course, Paul lists some of the office gifts. These are office gifts given to the church along with their purposes. And we look at verses 11 and 12 in Ephesians 4 again. He said, and He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now, those are particular offices in the church. Those gifts pertain to that. And then in verse 12, he says, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. For the edifying of the body of Christ. So you notice there, for the equipping, right? For the work of ministry, and all together for the edifying of the body. Well, till when? How long? Well, verse 13 says what? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now let's pause there. You see, he said, till we all come to the unity of faith. So you got the unity of faith and as well the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man. That is, when we see that, when we read that, to a perfect man, that is to rise to the same level of knowledge ascribed or likened to a full-grown adult. And, of course, Paul talks about this in his letter to the Colossian believers in chapter 1, verse 28. I won't read it for you, but just to paraphrase it, he told them that they preach Jesus Christ, teaching all men in the wisdom of the Lord and the wisdom of the Scriptures, so that they might, and I'm paraphrasing, so that they might present every man perfect in Christ, or complete, you see. So you have that perfect man, that unity, that knowledge of Jesus Christ by which all these gifts are given, by which we edify and why we come to edify one another. We are also, the Bible says, His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works. That's another reason for edifying. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. But furthermore, we are edified so as not to be misled or confused by every wind of doctrine and deception. If you look at verse 14 in our focal text, he said that we do, God gives these gifts, we pursue these goals, the work of the ministry, equipping of the saints, the edifying of the body, till we all come to this unity, this knowledge of Christ, to a perfect and complete man, to the measure and the stature, in other words, to be full in Christ, that, verse 14, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. So, there's an adage that says, if you don't fall for something, you'll fall for anything. When it comes to the church's edification, 1 Corinthians 14:33 tells us, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all the churches of the saints. And of course, Paul, when he wrote that, in the context, was referring to the spiritual gifts and their use for the edifying of the body. It's about order. It's about growing up. It's about maturity and being complete in Jesus Christ. And this is how it's done. This is why it's done. William MacDonald comments that when the gifts operate in their God-appointed manner and the saints are active in service for the Lord, three dangers are avoided: immaturity, instability, and gullibility. Those three things are avoided when we are properly edifying each other in the Lord. Now, Hebrews, of course, remember, we're talking here about edifying so that we are not misled or confused by every wind of doctrine, by every deception that comes down the track. And Hebrews addresses the issue of underdeveloped believers who, by lack of exercise or aggressive service for Christ, seem to never grow up and thus are inept, that is, incapable of building up others in the Word of God. You can't have babes trying to make adults. Right? And in Hebrews chapter 5, if you turn there with me, Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12 through 14. God's word, the writer of Hebrews pins this, talking to those believers who are still staying as babes. He says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of what? Full age." There's that full adult. Full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. To discern both good and evil. And that's so important that we have that discernment. And the only way we're going to have that discernment to know what is righteous and what is unrighteous, what is good, what is evil, what is good, what is bad, even in morality, not only spiritually, is to be in the Word of God. To be hearing it. To be receiving it. To be studying it. To digest it, you see, to live it. Because it is living, isn't it, the Word of God? Now, proper edification is necessary if there's to be stability in the church. It would seem there's too much fickleness going on within the body of Christ. People attaching themselves to the latest trend or novelty that comes down the commercial pipe, so to speak. And you know what I'm talking about. We're always rushing to grab up the latest book, novel, or movie that claims a Christian emphasis. Or to go hear the latest teacher who has some really feel-good message or something that tickles our ears. Deception is the most dangerous of all. And that's what edifying helps us guard against. Deception is the most dangerous of all. As partakers of godly edification, we become skilled, you see, in the word of righteousness. We can discern between good and evil. And this is one reason the Apostle Paul so encouraged Timothy to preach the word of God to his people, to his congregation. Quote, unquote, this is what Timothy writes in 2 Timothy, Paul writes in 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 4. "Preach the word!" Exclamation mark. Preach the word. Be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and teaching. And then Paul warns this: "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but according to their own desires, because they have itching ears, they will heap up for themselves teachers, and they will turn their ears away from the truth and be turned aside to fables." And that's hollow. That will not edify the body in a godly way. You see, through the sanctification process, because we are what? We are set apart from the world as God's people. And because we're set apart, and through this progress, this process and progress of sanctification, God conforming us, making us holy, edifying us in the Scripture and the truth and in the Spirit of God, we edify and are edified because Christ is the head, right? He's the head of the body, that is the church, and we are set apart or called out to be His representatives.
Amen.
And what does it say about Christ as the head of the body when the body is acting all immaturely and never growing? Why ultimately? Because Jesus promised when He spoke to His disciples and Peter spoke in faith about Jesus being the Son of the living God. Why ultimately? Because Jesus promised that on this rock, that is on Himself, He would build up His church. And there's that same word in Matthew chapter 16 verse 18, oikodomeo. When Jesus said, I will build my church, I'll build it up, a house, you see. Jesus is our house builder. But He has enlisted you and I to be His carpenters. You with me? So how? Well, how do we edify? Well, our focus text, at least, for one, says that we are to speak the truth in love. Furthermore, that every member of the church is to do their share. In verses 15 and 16, back over in Ephesians chapter 4 of our key text, we'll use that for now to answer the question how. In verses 15 and 16, he said, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. And then 16, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies. That's you. You're the joint that supplies according to the effective working by which every part, that's you as well and I, does its share. And this causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself. And here's the ultimate enveloping point Paul is making, in love. In the love of Christ. Right? And so, edification in this context requires truth given in the right spirit. In other words, speaking truth to one another in love, and it is done in a way that promotes growth in Christian wisdom, in Christian piety, in holiness, and in joy and happiness. That's how we're to communicate truth to one another. But truth is never easy, is it? The truth is hard sometimes. But that's the thing about tough love as the body of Christ, as the family. Let me put it this way, the family of God. I mean, I know how it is sometimes with our own earthly families. Trying to speak truth to one another is not always easy. Or speak truth to a friend, or whatever the situation may be. But you and I are called to speak truth to one another in love, that is, with gentleness and kindness and with each other's best in mind. We don't do it to tear down. We don't do it to jab one another. We don't do it for spite. And here's something else I'm going to just throw in there to the cog. We don't use God as our personal enforcer. We don't say, well, God, I wish that person really had the truth, knew the truth. Go get him, God. Put it to him. Sometimes we do that, right? Because we follow that passage, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. And so sometimes we want to use God as our personal bouncer. And that's not how it works. So how do we do it? How do we edify? Then there is this, the New Testament fellowship. That's one. New Testament fellowship. That's how we edify. And fellowship comes from the Greek word koinonia. And it means to have intimate closeness or communion together as God's people. It talks about a very deep intimacy that God's people share. And only God's people can share it by the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 6, and I'm going to read off some passages to you. Galatians chapter 6, verses 2, 6, and verse 10. And to read these together, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Verse 6, let him who is taught the word share in all good things with him who teaches. Verse 10, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. And then in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 26, Paul speaks of sharing one another's experiences in fellowship, koinonia. And if one member suffers, he says, all the members suffer with it. Or if one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. We share in those things together. And then in the book of Acts, chapter 2, verse 41 through 42, and verses 44 through 47, the book of Acts describes fellowship that took place in the early church. And this is what the Bible says. Then those who gladly received the word were baptized. And that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. Verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, koinonia, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. Now all who believed were together and had all things in common. Boy, that's something that's hard to see today. Had all things in common and sold their possessions and goods and divided them among all as anyone had need. Verse 46, so continuing daily with one accord, there's that unity, and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, that fullness, with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, they ate their food with gladness and simplicity of heart. And of course he says there in the last, in verse 47, they praised God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily those who were being saved. With gladness and simplicity of heart. Boy, how we can complicate Christianity sometimes today. In 1 John 1:7, let me share this verse with you. John in his first epistle, he said, but if we walk in the light as he, that is the Lord Jesus, is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanses us from all sin. Church, our source for edification is Christ himself. And our aim is oneness in him. Secondly, how? Well, we've talked about New Testament fellowship or koinonia. Secondly is biblical instruction. That's how we are edifying. Biblical instruction. The fundamentals of the faith are immutable and should never be compromised, especially the gospel. Colossians 3 verse 16, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, Paul says. Teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Notice that. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Amen. Does the scripture dwell in you richly this morning? The apostle Paul, again, writing to Timothy, he told the pastor to heed the scriptures. And that is good for us too today. In 2 Timothy 3:14. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 through 17. Paul had this to say. He said, but you must continue in the things which you have learned and been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. And that from childhood you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And then verse 16, he says this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, that is, it is God-breathed, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. For why? To what purpose? To what end? That, verse 17, that the man of God may be complete, perfect, full, and adult, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we have fellowship, we have biblical instruction, and last, thirdly, how do we accomplish this edifying? Well, these are primary, of course. There's obviously other subsequent ways, but spiritual gifts, which we've kind of covered already, which Paul addresses there in our key text today of chapter 4 in Ephesians, but spiritual gifts, which are linked to church edification. And I think this is something that we sometimes neglect quite a bit. Spiritual gifts are not for self-satisfaction, but are for the building up of the church as a whole. Now, just to read you some text today to go along with this in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, and I'm going to quote for you 1 Corinthians 14. I'm going to quote for you 3, verse 3, 4, 5, and 12. 3, 4, 5, and 12. And just so you can hear the word. Now, Paul, of course, I invite you, based on the view of this message today, that you go back and read these things in their context. But you'll get the point. Paul says, "But he who prophesies," that's preaching, "speaks edification and exhortation and comfort to men." Verse 4, "He who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but he who prophesies edifies the church." Verse 5, "I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied," that is, preach and teach the word. "For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets." Why? "That the church may receive edification." That's the end goal. That's the whole point of the gifts. That's what we're what God is accomplishing. Verse 12, Paul says this, "Even so you," speaking of spiritual gifts, he says, "even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts," there's nothing wrong with desiring the best of the gifts. There's nothing wrong with that. "But even so you, since you are zealous for spiritual gifts, let it be for the edification of the church that you seek to excel." And to use myself as an example, when I'm up here in this pulpit to preach the word of God to you, or I'm teaching down here on the floor on Wednesday night or Sunday night, or our teachers in our Sunday school classes who give you the word of God and they study and prepare, their aim and my aim is not to do it for our self-glorifying, for ourselves to get all the attention. At least that's not what we're supposed to do. Sometimes pastors are too busy building an empire rather than feeding the flock. And our function, our job, and the spiritual gift given to me is not for my self-satisfaction, but it is so that the church is edified, that I excel. Now, no one person has all the gifts. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 14 through 25. "But every believer has at least one gift, if not several. Also, while there are a diversity of gifts, there is to be no schism in the body, but everything is done for the sake of unity and growth." Now, I'm going to give you this information. Although their basic orientations differ, and their functions, if you will, as we mentioned earlier, you have the office gifts. But there's the gifts of the Spirit, and they are found in Romans chapter 12, verses 6 through 8. Romans 12, verses 6 through 8. You'll find them also in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 4 through 11. 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 11. Ephesians 4, verse 11, which we've read this morning, and 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11. That's where you'll find these gifts mentioned. Now, they do cover certain gifts and their functions and their offices, but I don't necessarily believe that that's all there is. I believe there might be others that are not mentioned, but that's my conjecture. Conclusion, church, because of our liberty in Christ, and this is an important verse to read, or at least to mention, I should say, because of our liberty in Christ, all things are lawful, but not all things edify. Now, we want to keep that in the back of our mind. Because of our liberty in Christ, all things are lawful, Paul said, but not all things edify. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 23 is where you'll find that. In other words, building up versus tearing down. When it comes to individual edification, there are things out there that we can partake in that harm us more than help us. When it comes to the church and its edifying, there are things we can do as a church body that can harm the church more than help it, more than build it up. And this is important. Building up versus tearing down at home, at work, at school, in the community, and most importantly, in the church. How are we edifying? There are many things in secular society that demand our excellence. Higher education, career opportunities, financial gain, relationships, athletics, popularity, social acceptance, etc., etc. Christians should be no less resolute when it comes to the excellence of their faith, both doctrinally and practically, and ultimately, they're working for God. That's our employer. That's who we work for, and we ought to give him our best. Our growing up in the faith is essential to the building up of others. And there's a way, a right and a wrong way. Soundly, the right way soundly, and in a way that is God-honoring. Church is for effectively edifying the saints through fellowship, the Word of God, and exercising our spiritual gifts. Fellowship, the Word of God, and exercising our spiritual gifts. And so the question I leave you this morning, what makes for your biblical edification? And how are you edifying others? That is the question I leave. Let us all stand.